Mark Bertrand alongside Chris Gasper on Patriots Preview, driven by the all-wheel drive 2019 Honda CR-V at your New England Honda dealers. Around here, we Honda. We're now joined by Bert Breer of the MMQB. He joins us here at Splitsville, Patriot Place. Patriots Panthers, preseason game number 3 happening tonight. That is Jay-Z. Let's talk a little Jay-Z here for a moment here, Bert, because I got a question, non-Patriots related. Yep. Something that happened this week in Miami, where the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, played 8 Jay-Z songs in a row for Kenny Stills, who has been outspoken against his own owner, Stephen Ross, and is now outspoken against the deal between the NFL and Jay-Z that they signed about a week ago now. And so Brian Flores trolled his own player by playing 8 Jay-Z songs in a row, apparently told him ahead of time he was going to do it. Kenny Stills knew it was going to happen, and then Kenny Stills went back to the locker room and matched that by playing Nas in the locker room. So if you don't follow that story, Nas and Jay-Z have been in a beef for like 25
since
years
the 90s,
now. Since the
90s. Yeah.
Those two have been at odds for years. Those two have been, you know, back and forth. Those two guys don't like each other.
Well, they patched it up, though.
Have they, though?
They did. They did a song together.
Yeah, but, like, really patched it up?
Yeah, no.
It's like a long-standing rap beef.
Yeah. One of the, like, longer-standing ones.
It's a rivalry. Yeah, it's a rivalry.
I mean, it was a beef. It's still a rivalry.
Okay. Rivalry.
Either way, message sent.
Yes.
What is that all about?
It's, look, I think part of this is Brian Flores trying to establish his program in Miami, and he's in such an awkward position. And the owner, too, because the owner has tried to position himself as this sort of progressive, like this progressive member of ownership in the NFL with everything he's done with Rise. Scott Pioli's involved in that. And so he's positioned himself this way. He gets called out on social media by his player for supporting Donald Trump. Now Brian Flores is caught in the middle of it. He says to the player, well, I think you should have gone to Stephen Ross before you put anything out there, which I thought was a completely reasonable response, right? Like, before you go and, you know, light your boss up on social media, maybe just have a conversation with him first. So, and then, you know, Stills kind of fired back at that. He's like, I understand what Flores. So it's back and forth and back and forth. And these are things that coaches, executives, owners have to tiptoe around with players.
Yeah.
And it's hard to take it any other way, but, like, I'm the boss.
Here's
you know what I mean?
Here's
like,
what
it's
I
hard
really
to take it
want
any
to know.
Other way.
Here's what I really want to know. Is Kenny Stills going to become available? Because if he does, I want the Pats in on that.
Yeah, I like Kenny Stills.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I want them in on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Bert, maybe you have inside information on this, but I just sort of look at it like Brian Flores is from Brooklyn. Jay-Z's from Brooklyn. Maybe you're just having a little fun.
He could have been just screwing with him.
You know? So, like, unless you have inside info where
I mean,
it's like
I just, I
Brian
just,
Flores
I,
is mad, I think
I
he's just
know
having
how,
fun with
I
it.
I know how prideful these players are, though. And, like, I have a hard time thinking Kenny Stills wouldn't see that as I'm getting shown up a little bit here. Or, like you said, maybe it's an attempt by the two of them to defuse the situation.
I mean, Brian's from Brooklyn. Jay-Z's from Brooklyn. Brian's just probably representing for Brooklyn.
It's possible.
And it's
I heard it and I thought the player clearly takes this matter very seriously.
Yeah.
If you've heard Kenny Stills talk about this, he's not joking.
Right.
Okay, this is a very serious
matter. Oh, and he's put his neck on the line, too. Like a lot of these other guys, he hasn't gotten the attention that Kaepernick or Eric Reed have gotten.
He's still protesting.
And he's a guy who's gone he's gone the other way than from the Players Coalition and everything else. He's definitely, like, if Cap and Reed are 1 and 2, I would say Kenny Stills is number 3 in that line.
So that's what has been going on in Miami, and I just thought it was a funny story this week. I'm like, oh, my God, these guys are good. This is the coach and the player getting into it now.
And it's interesting because Brian Flores has been doing a lot of the same stuff that Matt Patricia was criticized for last year in Detroit, a lot of the same stuff.
Is that what's going on there
Making
now?
Them run laps. Like, a lot of the old-school stuff that, like, and Patricia came under a lot of fire for it. And a lot of times this comes down to the way two teams are covered. Like, one team's covered a little differently than the other.
Or personality.
Or personality.
Because Brian's personality, I'm not knocking Matt, but I think he connects easier with people
than
Matt does.
That's fair. But he's done a lot of the same things. Like, he's asking a lot of those players the same way Matt did. You know? And
true.
So I think that that's an element here, too, where it's just, I think Flo's whole feeling about the way Miami's been run the last, like, 10 years, there's a lot to straighten out there. Like, in his mind, I think he feels like there's a lot to straighten out there. And I think both he and Chris Greer, the GM, understand, like, there's going to be some pain that we're going to go through to get there. And so that's part of what they're doing.
News of the day, Patrick Chung charged in New Hampshire. What are you hearing on this case, and what do you think happens from here on out?
Well,
it doesn't seem like he's going to face discipline until it's resolved legally.
Yeah, I mean, like, the two things you really have to look at here, I know, like, with positive tests, like, you know, you don't normally, it's like there's a, you get dinged once on the recreational drugs, and then it, you know, and then you get suspended after that. With stuff that's more serious than marijuana, this is different because it's an evidentiary case. And so when you're charged in a case like this, it can lead to a 4-game suspension. That said, I mean, these things a lot of times take a while to get through the courts. And if I'm not mistaken, there are a bunch of other cases that are tied to this up in New Hampshire where, I mean, it's possible this thing is in the courts all year. You know,
yeah, May right now is the target deadline for the trial.
Yeah, and I mean, so that means this thing just sort of hangs out there, and maybe he doesn't get suspended. But by the NFL's, by the letter of the NFL law, you know, under the substance abuse policy, he won't be suspended until there's a verdict in the case. And I mean, if Patrick Chung and his legal team want to handle it this way, they can absolutely kick the can down the road and make it so nothing happens during the 2019 season.
I want to ask you about this Trent Williams report coming out of D.C. Are the Patriots interested in Trent Williams at all? And did they offer a first-round pick?
Can I give you one more thing, Chris?
Yeah.
There's been another tweet in just the last few minutes. Field Yates has the latest on that. He, after Rap Sheet had a tweet about it, Field Yates now has a tweet that says, the Patriots are not and have not been in the business of trading for Redskins offensive tackle Trent Williams. They did not offer a first-round pick for him. He is not on their radar.
Yeah.
And pretty definitive tweet from Field Yates. Bert, what are you hearing?
I was told when the first report came out, like the connected the Patriots to this was like 2-3 weeks ago, I was told that the Patriots and Redskins hadn't been in contact on him. Now, those things can be a little bit slippery because a lot of times teams are just calling around this time of year, say, okay, is this guy available? Is that guy available? So it's possible there was like a conversation that involved Trent Williams. But my understanding is the Patriots weren't calling the Redskins to say, hey, what's it going to take to get Trent Williams? And right now, the Redskins are still holding out hope that they can find a way to get Trent Williams back in the fold. I know it sounds unlikely based on all the history there that goes way beyond the financial stuff, but they've got a bad situation at left tackle right now. Donald Penn's in the mix there. Eric Flowers, who was an absolute
dreadful
disaster.
Player. One of the worst players in the NFL.
He's at guard right now. Like, they may have to move him back out to tackle, would be – and you think about this, Chris. Like, the investment now for them, they're making a decision on their quarterback. Like, they probably can't put their first-round rookie out there right now.
Haskins.
They probably can't put Haskins out there right now based on the situation at left tackle.
Yeah, and so, he, you know, the college he went to, he's probably not ready for the NFL anyway.
Ryan Days did a very nice job of getting him ready. I mean, that's why Justin Fields wound up at Ohio State.
I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
What is the Patriots' plan for Josh Gordon? And do you think they handle it differently this year versus last year? Where, look, at the trade deadline last year, they didn't make a deal to bring in a receiver. They sort of felt like, or at least acted like, Josh Gordon had solved the problem. Do you think they would make that same mistake? Or are they still in the business of maybe trying to acquire another wide receiver or making sure they have sufficient backup for him if something happens?
I do think there are going to be some names that are going to be out there available. One I've reported on, I think, for almost a year now is Laquon Treadwell.
Okay.
I mean, he's in essence been beat out by Chad Beebe, who's Don Beebe's son in Minnesota for the third receiver spot. He's on the discount rack. So if you had any, if you had any sort of love for Laquon Treadwell when he was coming out in the draft 3 years ago, like, he's somebody who could be available. Another name that I know teams are calling about, not quite sure if he's available yet, is Emmanuel Sanders in Denver.
See, that's my guy.
That's someone they've had history with.
Sanders.
They actually signed him to an offer sheet.
They didn't give him enough on that offer sheet. Yep.
Right. And so, like, he's another guy who, like, could wind up being out there. Now, he's coming off an Achilles, and he's looked good so far, but those things can
look
be finicky.
Look good in actual games. Hey, he's actually played in preseason games, by the way.
What's one guy coming off an Achilles when you can have two?
Yes.
What's one former Bronco when you can have two?
So here's the thing. I don't think the Patriots are going to get caught. Like, I don't think the Patriots are going to get caught relying too much on Josh Gordon. I think that they have to and will treat whatever they get from Josh Gordon as a bonus. I said to you guys last week, I think a lot of this is on Brady, maybe even more so now that Jack Easterby isn't around anymore, in finding a way to kind of keep him focused on football and everything else. I I was told there were conversations there with Brady about that last year.
Yep.
And so I think that that's part of the equation here. You can't rely on him, guys. The problem is that he's so talented that he's sort of a – he makes himself. You know
what
I mean? Like he's so talented, it's hard to resist giving him a role that's going to make you relying on him, which is – created problems for Cleveland in the past, and I think created at least a little bit of a short-term problem for the Patriots. They worked it out, but a short-term problem for the Patriots last year.
Bert, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thanks, guys. I sound better than last week, too, right?
You sound fabulous.
Good.
Here in person.
You sound better than me.
Let me see your phone for a second. Let me see your phone real quick. How's the screen look on it this year? Wow. Fully intact. Not smashed yet.
Not smashed yet. I do have a book. I got the glass protector, right? So I got like the little crack down there in the glass protector, but the actual glass
is fine.
The
actual screen is still intact.
You got to invest in the glass protector. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's good. You would know from experience.
Yeah.
Bert Breer, the MMQB. Appreciate it, Bert. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, coming back on the other side, we'll be talking to Paul Perillo of Patriots.com. He is on the way on Patriots Preview from Splitsville on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.